Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Welcome back. It's great to have you with us for this last message in the series on the subject, Jesus is coming back. Let's pray together and we'll get started. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Your word is settled forever. It is yes and amen. What your word declares has and always will come to pass. As we share this last message, I pray that you'd help us to be ready for that any moment return of your son, Jesus. We thank you for that. Bless your servant who preaches today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 3 weeks ago, we began this series, Jesus is Coming Back. This is one of the scripture's main bold prophetic themes. This book, the Bible, announced Jesus' first coming, and it announces his second coming. He's coming to put an end to the madness of this world. He's coming to judge all men and all nations. He's coming to take his people back to himself, and he's coming to set up his eternal kingdom, his kingdom of peace. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the signs of the any moment return of Jesus. The disciples asked him, when will the temple be destroyed? What are the signs of your soon return? Jesus gave them a number of signs, but specifically we talked about the mental, the moral, and the spiritual state of the world. Mental confusion, moral completely corrupt, spiritual coldness and apathy. Those were signs that Jesus talked about. And then last week we talked about the greatest sign, the miracle nation of Israel, reborn in 1948 to the land that God gave to Abraham years and years ago, in order for God to begin again the restoration of Israel, his covenant people, to himself. Amazing days that we're living in. Well, I want to share one more message today, and today it's about the rapture of the church. You know, when we talk about Jesus coming back, what is he coming to do? One of the things the Bible is so clear about is that he's going to come and he's going to take the church away. He's going to catch the church away before he unleashes his anger on a sin-sick world, a rebellious world. And that's the subject of today's message. I want to read, if I can, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." Christians had died. They were expecting Jesus to come back. They said to Paul, "What's happening?" Paul said, "Don't worry. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep or died in him." And then this is what he says, "According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are alive, still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Today we're talking about the rapture of the church. There are five questions that I want to answer today. W questions. What is the rapture? Who is a candidate for the rapture? Where will the rapture take place? When will the rapture take place? And why will the rapture take place? First of all, what is the rapture? The rapture is the sudden evacuation and capturing away of Christian believers out of the wickedness of this world and out of the terrible judgment and wrath of God that is coming against a Christ-rejecting world. We've just read it from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." The word there is caught up in the clouds, in the air. Jesus went away. The angel said, as he went, so he's coming back, and that's the way we're going to go. Another translation says, we will be snatched away. This is in line with what Paul tells us about the resurrection of the dead in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or die, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. If you notice in those scriptures, the trumpet call of God. Moses was told in Numbers chapter 10 to make two silver trumpets. And the trumpet was sounded for two reasons, a call to war and a call to worship. When the last trumpet of God is blown at the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus, it's a call to the angels of God to prepare the world for a war, the anger of God against a Christ-rejecting world. But it's also a call to saints to go and worship the Lamb who sits on the throne. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 10, we see Jesus' message to the church at Philadelphia. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. He's talking about this judgment that's coming. But he says, the church, I will take you away from it. There is always divine protection for the faithful believer from God's wrath on the earth. Notice that in all of these scriptures, it's a trial that will come on the whole earth, not just Israel. It wasn't just the disciples' time. It's in the time that we live today. The trial in the day of the disciples was Israel only. And the church is only mentioned in Revelation, the first three chapters. And these are specific instructions to seven different churches. But after chapter 3, the church is called up in chapter 4, verse 1, is called up. That's a sign of the rapture. And then the church is never mentioned again in the book of Revelation. There's not one mention. We hear all about Israel and the stubborn nations of the world, but not the church. Why? We hear about Israel and the nations because that's the theme of Revelation, God's wrath on the earth to bring Israel back to himself and any Gentile who will believe. It's interesting, in Revelation chapter 4, it begins like this, with a trumpet. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. There are several things to notice in this verse. John is showing what will happen on the earth after this. After what? After the church. After the rapture of the church. It begins with a voice like a trumpet. Luke chapter 21, verse 36, watch and pray that you may be counted, Jesus said, worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What things? The terrible tribulation of Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And that is the subject of the book of Revelation. The rapture of the church is the sudden evacuation and capturing away of the Christian believer out of the wickedness of this world and out of the terrible judgment and wrath of God against both Israel and a Christ-rejecting world. That's what the rapture is. Well, who is a candidate? Who will be caught up and snatched away? And we read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says it's for those who are in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? When you're born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ, into the church. When you're born again, you are in Christ. That's why Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. When you're born again, you're placed in Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When you're born again, When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in Christ. And you will be included in the rapture. But also, it will be those who are accounted worthy. Jesus' words in Luke chapter 21, verse 36 says, "Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to come and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." The King James Version says that you may be accounted worthy to escape. How are we made worthy to escape? We are made worthy when we are in Christ. His righteousness, His holiness, His purity, when we receive Him, is imputed, given to us. It's His righteousness. It's not our righteousness. When we're in Christ, we are accounted worthy. On the day of the rapture, it is a supernatural work of God that applies to the life of every believer and miraculously changes our bodies to our heavenly and immortal bodies. This is what happens to those who are in Christ. They are accounted worthy. But there's one more thing, or two more things. He says it is also for those who are patient and faithful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verses 1 to 11, it says this, "Now, brothers, about the times and dates we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying safety and peace, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in the darkness that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us," here it is, "for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we die, we may live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So we're to be alert, we're to be awake, we're to be spiritually alive and perceptive, we're to be active in the things of God. We're not to be busy with just the world. And it is possible to live in such a place of spiritual coldness and apathy and indifference that we're not ready when Jesus comes back. Jesus said this, He said, "I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together, one will be taken and the other left." That's the rapture of the church. Some will be taken and some will be left. We must remain firm to the end. Matthew 24, verse 12 says, "Because of the increase of wickedness and the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." And then this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's what we're doing here today. We're announcing the gospel. We're letting you know that this Jesus who died and was buried and rose again, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who's sovereign over the universe, is coming back to fix this bad, bad world, his world. This is one more of the things that's happening. It's also for those who are watching and waiting and looking for him. The writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 9, verse 28, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." In Jesus' parables, in the Matthew 27 warning, he talks about the faithful servant who would be rewarded. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at the proper time? He's talking about our reward at the end of time. "It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time.' And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at a time when he's not expecting him, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These are Jesus' words, not my words. Jesus says we need to be ready, watching and waiting, not only in him, but alert, watching and active. Like the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and five were foolish. The wise ones were ready. They had everything ready. When the bridegroom came, they went with him. But the foolish ones were not ready. Jesus said, therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. So the rapture is that sudden capturing away. It's for those who are in Christ. Thirdly, where will the rapture take place? Well, it will take place wherever the believer is, anywhere around the world. In Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31, at that time, the Son of Man, the sign of the Son of Man, will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heavens to the other. It's going to take place all around the world, wherever there are believers. It's the same trumpet that we read in our text in Thessalonians. This is Jesus now speaking. So from the entire globe, wherever the believer is, they will be caught away. It will be wherever we are busy working. Two men in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women grinding, one will be on the handmill, one will be taken, and one will be left. So keep watch, because you don't know the hour. If the rapture were to take place right now, the trumpet were to blow, would you go? It will be wherever the dead believers will be resurrected and raptured. They will be raptured first. The Lord comes down, he shouts, the dead in Christ rise, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up. Wow, what an event this is going to be. Can you imagine the chaos around the world? Maybe you'll be watching a movie. Somebody, I hope it's not you, we'll be watching a movie. We interrupt this movie to inform you that millions of people from around the world have mysteriously vanished. Eyewitnesses from around the globe report that people have suddenly vanished. Others claim to have seen people strangely caught up and flying away into the sky by their tens of thousands. Tragedy has struck in an unprecedented manner. Reports from our correspondents are flooding in about an unspecified number of aircraft that have crashed as pilots suddenly disappeared. Police, hospitals are frantically trying to keep up with the millions of road accidents when drivers suddenly disappeared. The President of the United States has held an international news conference appealing for calm, assuring the nations that the government and the United Nations would be sending food and aid where calamity has struck. It's also been reported that this may be the work of some alien invasion. Others claim it's the so-called rapture of the church when Jesus was supposed to take away Christians. Stay tuned to this channel for more news. And now back to the movie. It's going to be an amazing event. I'm glad I'm going when Jesus comes back. Well, when will the rapture take place? The fourth W. When will the rapture take place? We don't know. We don't know the exact day. We don't know the hour. That's what Jesus said. But it will be at any moment. It could be very soon. It will be suddenly. Jesus clearly, repeatedly said, he told us to be ready because no one knows about that day, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. We can know by the general times and the signs that we've talked about over the past couple of weeks, but we don't know the exact moment. It's still a mystery. That's why we must be ready at all times. The rapture will take place suddenly, like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It will happen suddenly, like a thief, without warning. Jesus said, same illustration, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We know what this is like in Uganda. A thief comes unexpectedly, unannounced, and suddenly. When you least expect him, usually when you're asleep. Is there anybody out there, write to me, if you've ever received a letter from a thief, oh, I'm coming at 11 o'clock on Thursday. No. Jesus said it's like a thief in the night. A smart man gets ready. like a woman's labor pains, suddenly, and it can't stop. Like lightning, Jesus said. Matthew 24, verse 27, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Like a bridegroom coming for his bride, the Jewish bride would prepare herself for her groom. He would have gone away to prepare a place for her, but he was going to come back and take her to be with him. Does that sound familiar? Without warning, suddenly, at any time, he could come unannounced, and the bridal party needed to be ready. That's why when Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins, at midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Jesus is our bridegroom. We, the church, are his bride. He has gone to prepare a place for us. He's coming back to take us to be with him. We don't know when. We need to be ready. In the 13th verse, Jesus said, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So when will the rapture take place? At any moment, suddenly, when we least expect it. Jesus told us about the wise servant over the household. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at a time and an hour he's not aware of. Jesus is talking about you and me being ready for his return, when the rapture will take place, suddenly. Are you ready right now? That's a big question. Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you working? Are you looking expectantly for him? That's why I have to preach this message. There's an urgency to it. I don't want you to get left behind, because you'll have to go through terrible, terrible, terrible times. As a wise servant, as a good pastor, I must warn you, and not just those of you who are Christians and come to church, but anybody, anywhere, we need to understand Jesus, the one who created the earth, is coming back to reclaim his property. Our text from last week was Luke chapter 21. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly, life like a thief, for it will come upon on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Are you ready? The last W question. Why will we be raptured? This is an important question. And I want to give you an answer from the Bible. It's so that we can escape all that is about to happen. What's going to happen? I asked you to read the whole book of Revelation in one sitting. I hope you did that. I gave a number of scriptures. I hope they're still on our website, or maybe they're going to post them on the screen so you can go and read those scriptures. It's so important. But if you read the book of Revelations, you'll see what's going to happen. Jesus called that time great tribulation. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, that he would keep us from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. There is a test coming. We're being tested right now. If we pass the test, if we're in Christ and therefore accounted worthy and we're watching, he will keep us from the hour of trial that is going to test the whole world. For those who are not watching and waiting and working, and our lives are caught up with the cares of this life, perhaps we will fail the test and get left behind. Jesus said, pray that you may be able to escape. Some will not escape. I believe that there are some, even Christians, who are going to go through that time of trial because, like five foolish virgins, you weren't ready. You were busy with other things. They got left behind. Jesus wasn't a priority in their lives. Jesus, in the Bible, warned us repeatedly to be ready. And so I must warn you today. There's a day of judgment coming, the Bible says, that is coming on the whole earth. It will be a day of the righteous vengeance and the day of the wrath of God. The church will be raptured out of that before it happens. It's called a time of Jacob's sorrow. You can read about it in the book of Daniel. Go and read it. And that's why I asked you to read the book of Daniel. You know, Christians are always permitted to suffer persecution, but they're never permitted to suffer God's wrath. God loves his people so much that while he will allow them to suffer persecution, he will never allow us to suffer his anger. His anger that we deserve was put on Jesus. His anger is reserved for those who are unbelievers and reject him. Those who reject Jesus, reject the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men. And you know what that chapter is all about. Sexual perversion. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. He never allows his people to go through his anger. He takes them away first. The Jewish people rejected Jesus. While they're God's people, they chose to rebel against him and walk in disobedience. He allowed his wrath to be fully unleashed against them in order to bring them back to himself. That was what the story was about when the temple was destroyed. He's going to do it again through the tribulation. Every believer who lives like an unbeliever will be left behind to go through God's wrath. That's why we need to be ready. In Romans chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, but because of your stubbornness, writing to believers, and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. When the righteous judgment will be revealed, God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. This is the Bible. I believe in the grace of God. The grace of God provided Jesus. I believe that the anger of God was put on him. And if we accept Christ and we're in Christ, we're safe. But if we reject Christ, we are not safe. God is righteous and just and will do what is good. He will protect the earth. When God pours out his wrath in judgment on the wicked, he always removes his people first. But for those who reject Jesus, lovingly, be warned. Noah and his whole family were saved when God destroyed the earth. Now the earth was corrupt, Genesis 6 says, in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw that how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy them and the earth. God told Noah to build an ark. So in Genesis chapter 6, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. The Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I found you righteous in this generation. They went into the ark where they were safe. It is a symbol of going into Christ, going into the church where we are safe. Has God found us righteous in this violent and wicked generation? Are we in this ark of salvation? Are you in Christ? While God's wrath destroyed the whole known world, Noah and his family were saved, because that's the way God works. Lot was spared before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. The Lord said in Genesis 18, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. What was Sodom's sin? Violence and sexual perversion. Just like our day today. Apathy and rejection of God's ways. Let me tell you that there is a cry that is rising up around the world today against the insanity of the way that the world is going, that is no less wicked than Sodom and Gomorrah. Someone said, if God doesn't judge our world, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we live in the same world. God, the righteous judge, will judge men of this world just as he did in the past. He has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only reason he has not swept aside the earth already is because he's patient and he's giving men everywhere a chance to repent. And the Bible says, Abraham approached these men and said, God was there, will you sweep away the righteous, will the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city. Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? I learned from this that God will spare the righteous when he pours out his wrath on the unrighteous. The ungodly will feel the full fury of his fury. That's God. Just as the people of Israel were protected by the blood of the Lamb in the day that the angel of death passed over Egypt, so he will preserve those who are under the blood of Christ. Listen to this, and I must come to a close. For if God, 2 Peter 2, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from the trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment who continue while continuing their punishment. I'm not looking for the wrath of God. I'm looking for the sudden, any moment return of Jesus and the rapture of the church to be taken away so God can fulfill his plan. I want to close this series. And I want to ask you, my dear friend, are you ready for the return of Jesus? This is the day of God's favor. The Bible says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. But one day, the door of the ark will close. One day, when the church is taken away, the wrath of God is coming. And God's plan for the ages will be fulfilled because he loves this earth that he created, and he loves the people that he created, and he wants them everywhere to be a part of his plan for restoration and hope and healing. But you must receive Christ. So as we close, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you're not ready for the return of Jesus, you can be. All you need to do is receive him. If you'd like to do that, I want to pray with you right now. Pray with me. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Father, thank you for the Bible and the truth that it teaches. I need Jesus to forgive me and change me and make me a new person. I surrender. I repent. I turn. Forgive me. I receive Jesus as my Lord, and I give my life to him, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Father, I want to pray for the church, your people. Help us to be alert, alive, awake, waiting, watching for that wonderful moment very soon, because we know Jesus is coming back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.